I think my Omer count will be uncompromised if I mention that we are one day away from Chag HaShavuos. Certainly in place to devote our remarks this evening to Chag Matan Torosenu and matters of Torah Bichlal. I'd like to begin by making reference, noting the way that the Torah introduces Chag HaShavuos within the course of its presentation of all of the Moadim. We refer, of course, to Parshas Emor, Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel. There the Torah goes through all of the Omim Tovim, Shalosh Regalim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. And as we know, the term that the Torah uses for Yom Tov is Mikra Kodesh. Mikra Kodesh Yelachem, a holy calling, a holy convocation. When it comes to Chag HaShavuos, in Pasuk Yud Tes of Perek Kaf Gimel, the Torah has an additional expression. Ukara Asem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. And you shall call on Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. It's a difficult phrase to translate. Or more correctly, it's easy to translate. That's what makes it difficult to understand. If we translate Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day, it's a troublesome expression, because firstly, the Torah doesn't use it with regards to other Moadim. Pesach is Mikra Kodesh, and Sukkot is Mikra Kodesh, and Shavuos is Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh. So, Manishtana HaRegel Hazeh Mikol HaRegoli? That's the first question. And secondly, what might the Torah mean by emphasizing Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on this very day? Any day the Torah speaks about is that very day. When the Torah says on the 15th of Nisan, it's a Mikra Kodesh, it didn't add Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh on this very day. Does the Torah mean on that very day? Yes, it does. That's the day the Torah is speaking about. So the words themselves seem to be somewhat redundant. There are certain episodes in the Chumash that are described as having happened Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. There it's for emphasis. Noach enters the Teva, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Moshe passes away, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The Jewish people leave Mitzrayim, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. There the point is, in the heart of the day, in full vision of everyone, this happened. But in terms of prescribing a mitzvah, what is the meaning of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? And I would like to present a couple of approaches to this question, and they are very revealing about different aspects of the nature of Shavuos, and they're quite different from each other. V'hadvar mashlimim ze'eseh, as is the way of Torah. The Ramban himself addresses this question in his Perush on the Torah, and he notes that Shavuos, as is presented in the Torah, is quite different than the other regalim, in the sense that every regal has a special mitzvah attached to it. Sukkos has yeshivas leshivas sukkah, arpa minim, and Pesach is chag hamatzos. Shavuos, actually, also has special mitzvos that are attached to it. But they're all in the Beis HaMikdash. What is uniquely active about Chag HaShavuos? Well, you have the special korban called the Shtei HaLechem, that's unique amongst the days of the year. It's also the beginning of the bringing of Bikurim, so it is very marked in the Torah. But all the things that mark it are things that specifically exist within the Beis HaMikdash. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, there is no positive mitzvah that is characteristic of Shavuos. We say, of course, Zman Matan Torosenu and Talmud Torah, but Talmud Torah, one hopes, also exists the day before and the day afterwards, and every other day of the year. To the extent, says Ramban, that one may have thought that if there's no Beis HaMikdash, perhaps there's no Yom Tov called Shavuos. The whole description of the Torah of Shavuos is the culmination of the counting of the Omer, which is only a Doraisa mitzvah when there is a Korban Omer. It's the other side of the Omer. No Omer, perhaps there's no Shavuos. One may have thought. To that end, the Torah emphasizes Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, as if to say that under all circumstances, in all times, and all locations, even in the absence of the unique features of the Beis HaMikdash that characterize Shavuos, Etzem Hayom Hazeh means the day itself is a Mikra Kodesh, even though it will be, quote-unquote, just Yom Tov, without any special mitzvahs to accompany it. So that's a very interesting explanation of the Ramban. Etzem Hayom Hazeh is assuring us that Shavuos is a Yom Tov for all times. And it's interesting to note that in this vein itself, the Ramban explains the other Yom Tov in that perek, which also has the expression Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, which is Yom Kippur. For there the Torah says, Kichol Hanefesh Asher Lo Se'uneh Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, etc., and so forth. The Torah also uses the expression Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh with regards to Yom Kippur. And again, the question will be, well, we know which day it is. It's the 10th of Tishrei. You didn't say it by Rosh Hashanah, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. Why is it being said by Yom Kippur? Says Ramban, in a very similar vein. If we really knew what's meant to happen on Yom Kippur, it is so overwhelmingly Beis HaMikdash based. And for us, we pass the day in a hopefully a very meaningful way in Shul. But in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, I think anyone who is anywhere would be in the Beis HaMikdash. Just to see that the avoda of Yom HaKippurim is so unique and so special. It has the Shtei Se'irim and the Ketores and Achas Lamala V'Sheva Lamata Lifnai V'Lifnim. It's very heavily invested. And indeed, the day itself is not the same as the Rambam describes in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, in the absence of those korbanos. Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's interesting, I think the Daf Yomi has recently passed Maseches Yuma. You're waiting for Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Maseches Yuma. There's 8 chapters, you've got to wait till chapter 8. Because the first 7 are about Avodas Yom HaKippurim and related matters. Finally, just before the Masechta finishes, what about the fast? And therefore, says Ramban, similarly, one may have thought that the fast without the avoda, maybe it's not there. Perhaps it doesn't have the same meaning without the avoda. And to that end, again, the Torah stresses, no. As far as the fast is concerned, it is a constant. It will always be there, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. But the inui of the fast, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, the day itself retains its character, retains its status in all times, even after the Churban. It's very interesting to note that this sentiment is echoed coming back to Shavuos. The point of Shavuos is that nowadays, what do we have on Shavuos that's unique to Shavuos? Yom Tov. The Torah gives us a number of names for Chag HaShavuos, and the Mishnah doesn't use any of them. The Torah referred to Shavuos as actually Chag HaShavuos, and it will call it Chag HaKatzir, and it will call it Yom HaBikurim. And the Mishnah sidesteps all of them. The way the Mishnah refers to Shavuos is to call it Atzeres. And the question that many Mepharshim raise is, what is behind the name Atzeres? We find the Torah uses the name Atzeres, but not for Shavuos. And it uses so many other names. And Chazal preferred this name for Shavuos. And there are many explanations of this phenomenon, but one that I found to be fascinating, and especially how it ties in with what the Ramban is saying, is in the Perush of the Chazon Yecheskel, Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky Zatzal, in the Tosefta to Erechim. And there he states, the reason why Atzeres is the name for Shavuos in the Mishnah, even though it's not the name for Shavuos in the Torah, can be fathomed by looking at the days that the Torah calls Atzeres. Which days are called Atzeres in the Torah? Well, Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of, we call it the eighth day of Sukkot, that's already a loaded definition. But Shmini Atzeres, and the seventh day of Pesach, they are called Atzeres. What do they have in common, the seventh day of Pesach and the eighth day of Sukkot? What they have in common is that neither of them actually have unique mitzvahs anymore. Because having gone through the 7 days of Sukkos with Avraminim in the Beis HaMikdash and Leishe Basukkah, Kam Shmini Atzeres, and Simchas Torah has yet to explode, you have Yom Tov. Any unique defining mitzvahs? No, Vayisach Sameach, just Simchas Yom Tov. The same is true for the seventh day of Pesach. There are two Yomim Tovim of Pesach, the first day and the last day. The first day, there is a mitzvah of Be'erev Toch L'Matzahs. On the last day, the mitzvah of eating matzah is considered reshus, it's considered optional. We don't make a bracha al achilas matzah any time other than Seder night. We eat matzah throughout Pesach because it's either that or chametz. And chametz is off limits, so our choice is made for us. But as a matter of chiyuv, mitzvah in that way. So the seventh day of Pesach is another Yom Tov where all you have, quote unquote, is Yom Tov. That's why they're both called Atzeres. Because Atzeres means to stop. It's passive. La'atzor. To stop. Or it should mean to stop. And therefore, says Rav Abramsky, Shavuos is not called Atzeres in the Torah. Because in the Torah, there's more to Shavuos than stopping. There's more to Shavuos than refraining from doing malacha. There are all those other things. There's the Shtei Alechem. There's the Bikurim. By the time the Mishnah is written, in the post-Beis HaMikdash, or between Bate HaMikdash, more accurately, Shavuos has become an Atzeres. We no longer temporarily have those mitzvahs of Shtei Alechem and Bikurim, and therefore it's become like the seventh day of Pesach. It's become like the eighth day of Sukkot, and hence the name Atzeres. So it's actually a very beautiful interpretation, not only of the name that Chazal gave it, but why they gave it, and the Torah didn't give it. And it's very similar to what the Ramban is saying, that Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that's the Atzeres factor, is a Yom Tov. So this is the first explanation as to why the Torah stressed Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. The second explanation that I would like to take a look at relates to an issue which is called Tosefes Yom Tov. We know that there exists the possibility of what we call bringing in Shabbos early, Tosefes Shabbos. We take out Shabbos a bit later also, bringing in Yom Tov early. And it's actually derived in the Pasuk from Yom Kippur. For the Torah describes Yom Kippur as Batisha Lachodesh Ba'erev. This is in Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel. Batisha Lachodesh Ba'erev. In the ninth, in the evening. And the Gemara points out that actually, strictly speaking, the evening is no longer the ninth. If it's the evening, it's already the tenth. That's the famous question of the Gemara. And well known in one place, which is in Brachos and Daf Ches, is the drasha that there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Just in case you were thinking of doing something else on Erev Yom Kippur and not eating, there is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That is learned from Batisha Lechodesh Ba'erev. The mitzvah of Yom Kippur begins already on the ninth. A person who eats on the ninth is like he's had 2 days of Yom Kippur. That's the famous drasha. It's born of that issue, that the Erev is no longer the ninth. But if the ninth is part of the process, the eating of the ninth is part of the process of Yom Kippur. But elsewhere, in the eighth parak of Maseches Yuma, we actually derive the concept of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Because the point is that although the Erev is the tenth, Yom Kippur should begin already still on the ninth. Batisha Lachodesh Ba'erev, add some of the ninth onto Yom Kippur. That's Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. Interestingly, when we talk about the idea of bringing in Yom Tov early, davening Ma'ariv earlier, making Kiddush earlier, all these things are possible every Shabbos of the year, every Yom Tov of the year. There is a minhag that is mentioned in a number of later poskim. I think it's quite well known. And that is, when it comes to Shavuos, don't bring in Shavuos early. Don't make Kiddush early. To wait till nightfall. Either to wait till nightfall to make Kiddush, or to wait till nightfall to daven Ma'ariv. Some say to wait for Kiddush, some say Ma'ariv, Magen Avraham, Taz. The question is, why? So why do we wait on Shavuos? And the well-known answer that is provided is that because Shavuos comes after the counting of the Omer, and the counting of the Omer is described in Vayikra Perakav Gimel as Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyena. They should be complete. Therefore, we don't wish to bring in anything early because that would impinge on the completeness of the 7 weeks of Sviras HaOmer. That is the commonly accepted and understood explanation for waiting till Maariv time, till Tesach Kochav. However, that explanation is not so straightforward for a couple of reasons. Firstly, Tamimos, we've never found in the Gemara that Tamimos means that nothing can happen to cut the day short. Tamimos is normally darshan to mean that the counting should be from the beginning of the day, that is to say from the night before. And thus the counting is, you've counted the whole day, Tamimos. It seems a little bit of a chiddush to invoke the concept of Tamimos in a way that the Gemara never did, and say that as surely as it means count the Omer from the beginning of the day, and also don't do anything else until the day is completely cleared. But the second point, which is also very interesting, is that there's ample room to say that even if you daven Maariv of Shavuos early, and even if you made Kiddush of Shavuos before nightfall, you haven't affected the Tamimos factor of the Omer. Because Omer says, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos. The days all have to be counted, and what? You're allowed to do mitzvahs during those days. It's actually encouraged. The notion seems to be that if you bring in Shavuos early, then it's stopped. You've cut into the 7 days. But it's not so clear that that's what happens when you bring in Yom Tov early, or when you bring in Shabbos early. When you bring in Shabbos early, it doesn't stop being Friday. The point is not that Shabbos has now started an hour earlier. The point is the Kedusha of Shabbos has now extended into the last hour of Friday. But it's still Friday. Which means if you insist that these days need to be complete, they will be complete. Even if you daven Maariv of Shavuos early, it's still the last day of the Omer. And this is evidence, interestingly, this is a question halacha l'maisa many communities have. In the summer months, they daven, they bring in early Shabbos, what's called. Okay, so they daven Maariv. What about counting the Omer? If Friday was the 8th day of the Omer, Shabbos is the 9th day. They've brought in Shabbos already. Can they count the Omer in Shul? So the Pasha says they can't. And the reason is very simply because bringing Shabbos early didn't turn it into tomorrow. It's still today. Tomorrow's Kedusha of Shabbos has already begun at the last point of today. That doesn't make it tomorrow. And therefore you wait till nightfall to count. And by the same token, interestingly, this Rav Neubert says in the Shmirah Shabbos, Torah Lishma until next year, but if a person has brought in Shabbos early, it's an hour before nightfall, and then he realizes he hasn't counted the Omer from yesterday, he can still count, because it's still today. Which means, for our purposes, that even if you insist that the 7 weeks be Tamimos, davening Maariv of Shavuos early won't stop them being Tamimos. They're still Tamimos. The last hour is a wonderful hour. It's the last hour of Sviras HaOmer with Kedusha of Yom Tov. Fantastic. So, what then are we to say about this very widespread minhag to wait until Tzeis HaKochavim? We do wait. But why do we wait? The Binyan Shlomo of Shlomo Kohen of Vilna explains that it could be that this minhag is rooted in the pasuk itself. You see, with regards to Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, the Talmud raises an interesting shaila. If a person eats on Yom Kippur, he's in big trouble. There's a penalty. It's very, very severe. Chiv Koreis. The question is, what happens if a person brought in Yom Kippur early and ate during that early time, that extra time? Has he suffered also that way because he started Yom Kippur and then he ate? But you know that the consequences are dire for Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Yuma, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, that even though there's a mitzvah to bring in Yom Kippur early, but if a person ate during that time, which of course he shouldn't, he won't be Chayav Koreis. The reason why is because the Torah says, with regards to that penalty of Koreis, Ki kol hanefesh asher lo su'uneh be'etzem hayom hazeh benichrasa hanefesh ahi mi'ameh. The penalty of Kares is attached to be'etzem hayom hazeh. What be'etzem hayom hazeh therefore means is the day itself and not the extended day. That we see from that Gemara very clearly. So, says the Binyan Shlomo, so now look what the Gemara said. But look what the Pasuk said with regards to Shavuos. Ukarasem be'etzem hayom hazeh. Our question was, what does the Torah mean by these extra words of insistence, be'etzem hayom hazeh? What it means is, when ukarasem, call it mikra kodesh, which is what we do, at least through making kiddush, and perhaps even through the Yom Tov davening, the Torah is saying that whereas in other places there is a concept of tosefes, and one is perhaps entitled perfectly to bring in Yom Tov early, here the Torah says, when you call it Mikra Kodesh through Kiddush and through Mariv, it should be, or whatever constitutes the calling it Mikra Kodesh, that should be Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, meaning not in the time of Tosefes, wait until Tzeisukah Chavim itself. That's fascinating, because on the one hand, he raised very interesting questions with regards to the Tamimus issue, but he didn't leave us hanging. He then showed us that the Pasuk itself seems to be telling us to wait till the day itself, hence Minhag Yisroel. A third, again, and quite different answer to this question, what is the meaning of Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh? So let us open with a rather disturbing question, but no Shavuos is really complete without it. The Torah doesn't say what Shavuos is about. It doesn't say that it marks a certain experience. But the Siddur does. We know that every Yom Tov is described by us as a time of something. Pesach is Man Chayruseinu, and Sukkot is Man Simchaseinu, and Shavuos is Man Matan Torahseinu. And it's a perfect fit, because after all, Shavuos, 6th of Sivan, Matan Torah. If you learn the Psukim, you'll see. The problem is, the Torah was not given on the 50th day after leaving Mitzrayim. And the way to demonstrate that is very simple. Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to what shall we call the mainstream tradition, we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. Shabbos HaGadol is the tenth of Nisan, is the preceding Shabbos. The first Pesach was on a Thursday, which means that the first second day of Pesach, the first Omer counting day, was Friday, which means all the Omer weeks began on Friday, ended on Thursday. A week that begins on Friday ends on Thursday. So the day after all those 7 weeks is Friday. The Torah was given on Shabbos. That means that the Torah was given not on the 50th day after leaving Mitzrayim, but on the 51st day. And this is something, by the way, which comes out, not this year, but it's actually possible for Pesach to fall on Thursday. And in a year that Pesach falls on Thursday, Shavuos is on Friday. And we are commemorating the time that we left Mitzrayim on Thursday and received the Torah on Shabbos. And this is the question of the Magen Avraham. In terms of the days of the month, which it's easier to negotiate because some are full and some are chaser, the Gemara says that if Moshe added on an extra day of preparation, so then the Torah is given on the 7th of Sivan. But we say Yuzman Matan Torahseinu on the 6th of Sivan. But that's a day early. If you live in Chutz Laaretz, so you have the rebound day of Yom Tov Sheni, the 7th of Sivan, which is actually the day the Torah was given. So, what are we to make of this? It's a very important question, because we are about to call the 6th of Sivan, the 50th day after Pesach, Zman Matan Torahseinu. If we learn the sources, we will see that it's not Zman Matan Torahseinu. We're not starting up with a Siddur, but the matter needs to be understood. And I would like to present what is a very important answer to this question by prefacing with a comment of Rav Kook in explanation of a very enigmatic statement in the Gemara. It's in Maseches Brachos on Daf Zayin. And there the Gemara says, I think it's a well-known statement, Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Melimuda, Shimush Shal Torah, to serve Torah, to serve a Torah person, is greater than learning Torah. Where is this derived from? Well, Elisha, who is the disciple of Eliyahu HaNavi, he is described in the Pasuk in Sefer Melachim, Beis, Po Elisha ben Shafat, Asher Yatzak Mayim al Yidei Eliyahu. Here's Elisha. You know what his greatest achievement is? You know what's in his CV? He washed Eliyahu's hands. You think he ever did anything else with his life? He learned plenty from Eliyahu. He's his Talmud. It says the Gemara, yes, but there isn't anything you can say about what he learned that equals the fact that he washed Eliyahu's hands. Because one is learning Torah and one is Shimusha Shel Torah. What a statement. And in fact, the Chovas Halvavos, interestingly, demonstrates this concept from the Torah itself. It's something of a puzzle as to why the Gemara didn't say this. Yehoshua, who is the prime disciple of Moshe, is never called his Talmud. He's called his Mesharis, his servant. Umesharisav Yehoshua ben Nunar leyo mishmitocha ohel. Says the Chovas Halvavos, if you call him his Mesharis, you've said it all. Because to serve Moshe was greater than to learn from Moshe. Now this is a statement that needs to be understood very well, because in our estimation, it's backwards. Anything that you serve can't be more important than the thing itself. What's so important about serving Torah? Because he has Torah knowledge. So learn from him! Yes, you could, but serving is better. Why? It seems inverted. Indeed, we've mentioned in the past, and we'll only mention this briefly, but it really is fascinating that Maritz Chayes quotes the explanation of the Vilna Gaon, that when it says that serving Torah is greater than learning Torah, it doesn't mean there are two values, one is serving and one is learning, and serving is greater. There are two ways to learn, and learning through serving Torah is greater than learning through learning Torah. And what that means is, Shimusha Shel Torah, what's called to be in close contact, in close encounter with the Torah personality, and to observe them, that's a greater way of learning what it is that they represent than anything they could teach you in a shir or in a classroom. Gedola Shimusha means it's a greater way of learning than learning. So says the Vilna Gaon. And many Mefarshim after him. But Rav Kook brings us back, in a sense, to the literal translation of the words. Serving Torah is greater than learning Torah. How can it be? And why is it so? Says Rav Kook, to understand why serving Torah is greater than learning, we need to understand what is the goal of learning Torah. And it's an important question, certainly around Shavuos time and the whole year round. Learning Torah is an intellectual exercise. One discusses ideas. One learns ideas. What is the purpose of talking about those things and learning these things? Ultimately, the purpose is that the person absorbs those ideas, he's impacted by them, he's transformed by them, he's elevated by them. They're looking to develop Shleimus Ha'adam. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It takes the form of an intellectual engagement, but that is not the end game of learning Torah, to know more. The end game is to be more. Says Rav Kook, the extent to which Torah affects a person will be a function of two things. Number one, does he know any Torah? And number two, what is his regard for Torah? No one is ever impacted by something that they do not hold in high regard. And therefore, the catalyst which will make all the difference as to how a person is impacted by the Torah that they know is how much of an appreciation of Torah do they have? How important do they understand that it is? How critical do they consider it to be? And therefore, says Rav Kook, Shimusha Shel Torah, which is expressing in practical terms how important Torah is, the reverence that a person has for Torah, that they're prepared to serve a Torah personality, that embeds within them, expresses outside of them, and hence embeds within them an appreciation of Torah. All the Torah that they know and all the Torah that they will learn subsequently is henceforth absorbed on a higher level. It's an amazing explanation. Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah, the appreciation factor rises, and that affects all the Torah that one knows. When a person has a lahavdil, when a person has a sum of money, and they're given an opportunity either to make a bit of more money or to engage in something that will double the money that they have. It's the same time. A person may have many words of Torah inside of them. Sometimes, subject to context, they may have the opportunity to learn another piece of Torah or to double the Torah that they already have by heightening their appreciation of it, and everything now is different. And what we see from here is that it may be obvious, but it's important to state and to stress. The enterprise which is called learning Torah and the success of that enterprise is a function not only of the Torah that one knows, but one's relationship with Torah, one's regard for Torah. And this is stated explicitly in the Sefer Derech Hashem of the Ramchal in Chelek Dalet. When he talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he extols the praises of the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's Hashem's wisdom. If it's absorbed in a person, it can elevate them like nothing else. Talmud Torah keneged kula. However, says the Ramchal, that is entirely a function of a person's regard for Torah. If a person appreciates that these are the words of Hashem, this is Hashem's message, this is Hashem's will for how people should live in the world, it will affect him accordingly. However, says Ramchal, if a person reads words of Torah and his regard for them is as if he's reading a letter, Kikuri Be'igeres, or for us, the papers, the effect will be accordingly minimal. It's entirely a function of what a person is prepared to receive from Torah. And the irony is that the one who has less regard may have a higher level of learning, so to speak, but he's receiving much less Torah because of his lack of appreciation of Torah. And this is something that we see elsewhere in the words of Chazal. The famous Gemara, which raises the question, we don't like to talk about these things, but important to be aware of it. Alma of the Haaretz, the Haftorah for Tisha B'Av morning. What was it that caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, of the first Beis HaMikdash? This is the Novi Yirmiyo. And the Gemara explains this passage in Maseches Nedarim, in Daf Pei Aleph, and Bamatzia, in Daf Pei Gimel, and comes to the conclusion that the cause of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash was Shelo Berchu Batorah Tchila. We didn't make a bracha before learning Torah. Now these words are astounding for a couple of reasons. Number one, we all agree that it's important to make brachas before you learn Torah. That's definitely true. But to implicate that and identify that as the cause of the Churban, that seems slightly disproportionate. What's more, we know from elsewhere in the Talmud, in Maseches Yuma and Daftes, that there are other causes that are identified for the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash, and they're very difficult to ignore. Avodah Zorah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Domim. The second Beis HaMikdash is Sinas Chinam, which is equivalent to all of them. But the first Beis HaMikdash is not equivalent to all of them, it's all of them. How are we to reconcile these two statements? With all due respect, not making Birchas HaTorah seems to pale into insignificance when compared with the three most serious averas. Rabbi Tzvi Peterburger, the Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter in the Sefer Koch Ve'or, explains that the Gemara is well aware that ultimately the deteriorated state of the Jewish people, which precipitated the Churban, were all of these terrible things. But it's impossible for us to fully appreciate. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichus Domim, quite so. The Gemara is asking something else. How did it come to this? And the subtext of the question is, presumably these people were knowledgeable in Torah, they were learning Torah. Isn't there a concept that learning Torah is meant to protect a person? And yet, somehow there was this downward slide, and nothing stopped it. How come their Torah learning didn't protect them? That's the question. And indeed, the Gemara prefaces by saying that this question was asked, Alma of the Haaretz, to the Nevi'im and to the Malachim, and no one could work it out until Vayomer Hashem, which means that it must be at the most a very inner and concealed idea. No one could see it. Only Hashem could identify it. Shelebercha b'Torah Tchila means that if we didn't make a bracha before learning, it shows a lack of appreciation, a lack of regard for what Talmud Torah is. If you just go straight into learning without taking a moment for Asher b'chabon, mikol ha'amim, v'nasalana, v'staraso, and everything that goes with it, kulan yudei shemecha, so that all of that Torah learned is without appreciation. The level of protection of such Torah is severely compromised. Because Torah without appreciation, the effect will be minimal. And the results were, it didn't stop the downward descent into not Avodah Zorah, not Gila Reis, and not Shpichas Dam. The full protection would have been accorded by taking the time to say Birchas HaTorah, and thus registering appreciation of what Torah is, then it would have had its elevating and protecting effect. And it's possible, if I understand correctly, this is what the Taz is saying, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that we deleted that page from the Siddur. Perhaps we said the words of Birchas HaTorah, but to not give them their space and the weight that they deserve means we missed their message, and the Torah is impoverished, our Torah learning from that point. And the message that emerges is, it's an important message, especially in today's chronically irreverent times, that appreciation for Torah is what will make learning Torah the enterprise that it's meant to be. It's half of the equation, and moreover, there is room to say that it is the larger half of the equation. For these are the words of the Maharsha in Maseches Avodah Zarah on Daf Gimel. When he raises the question, why is it that we celebrate Shavuos, we call Zman Matan Torosenu on the 6th of Sivan, or 50 days after leaving Mitzrayim, the Torah wasn't given until the 7th of Sivan, till the 51st day, says the Maharsha, it's a chiddush. But I think by this stage we need a chiddush, so that's the least of our problems. The 50th day after leaving Mitzrayim is not the day the Torah was given, but it's the day that we'd finished preparing. Through the 7 weeks of the Omer, and through those final two which became 3 days, the 6th of Sivan represents the day that we had finished orientating ourselves towards Torah, being ready to receive the Torah, anticipation to receive the Torah. Says the Maharsha, that's the bigger half of the equation. And by the way, it's the only part of the equation that was up to us. Hashem will give the Torah whenever he decides. What's left for us is to prepare ourselves. Preparedness to receive the Torah is the bigger half of the equation. So much so, and it's, the Torah marks this by separating the 2 days. If day 50 is when we're fully prepared, and day 51 is when Hashem gives us the Aseres HaDibros, and we choose one day to celebrate, it's day 50. And tomorrow Hashem will give us the Torah whenever he wants. That's what Shavuos is about. It's a celebration of preparedness to receive the Torah. And I think it's actually glaring out at us from the name of the Chag of the Torah. It's called Shavuos. The more you think about it, the less comprehensible that name is. Why would Shavuos be called Shavuos? Shavuos means weeks. What's that got to do with Shavuos? It's true. We counted a number of weeks to get there, quite so. But now we're there. So we're not in the weeks anymore. Pesach is called Pesach. It's not called cleaning for Pesach. And it's not called baking matzahs. It's called Chag HaMatzahs. If you didn't bake, you won't have. But you bake them in order to get to the Chag. And Sukkot isn't called the Chag of building Sukkot. It's called the Chag of Leishiba Sukkot. But Shavuos, we're stuck in backwards. It's difficult to know. I think that's why they called it Pentecost. Because no one knows what that means. And no one knows what Shavuos means. But it's if one only looks at the word, there's no other way to understand it. This is where the Torah is telling you that this is the festival that celebrates those weeks. That's exactly what it is. The weeks of preparation. It's about being fully prepared. It's the culmination and celebration of all of those weeks. That's it. And that's why we count upwards in the Omer, not downwards. Normally, if it's purely a question of anticipation, one would like the days in between to disappear. Only a few days left. But we don't want them to disappear between Pesach and Shavuos. We need them. They are what will enable us to receive the Torah. And they are what we celebrate on the day after the Shavuos. We celebrate those weeks, and tomorrow the Torah is given. That's a very major perspective on Chag HaShavuos. And the Chiddush that comes out is that the day that we celebrate is the day that we finish being prepared, not the day that the Torah is actually given. This is the Chiddush of the Marsha, but one may dare say that this Chiddush preceded the Marsha. The first place that this Chiddush is highlighted, says Rav Hirsch, is in the Chumash, where it says in Vayikra Perikav Gimel, Pasuk Yotes, with regards to Shavuos, Ukarasem Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh Mikra Kodesh Yelachem. This very day is a Yom Tov. And we began puzzled. This very day? What's the point of the emphasis? Or whatever day it is, that's the day it is? This very day, as opposed to a different day? Says Rav Hirsch, yes. As opposed to a different day. As opposed to the next day when the Torah is actually given. That's what the Pasuk is highlighting. Aseres HaDibros won't be said till the 7th of Sivan, till the 51st day. But don't wait for that day. Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, this very day, not tomorrow, because today you finish being ready. And this is an insight that is of enormous value to us. It changes the way that we relate to Torah and maximizes what we hope to gain by the enterprise that we call Talmud Torah. Certainly, Dovar Be'ito, and it explains a great deal. I'd like to move from Vayikra Perek Kaf Gimel to the Siddur, interestingly, to something that we say on Sukkos, which is Tfilas Geshem, and all will be revealed in Mitzvah Shem before too long. Now, as we know, Tfilas Geshem, we mentioned many, we have many references to water. This is Mayim, Allah Selahachva, everything is Mayim, and in the merit of all of that, give us water. Moshe was drawn up from the water, and Yitzhak dug the wells of water. That's the theme. When it comes to Aaron, so Aaron also has his water associations. And the final point of the stanza with regards to Aaron, because before Yom Kippur, he's isolated from the rest of the Jewish people, 7 days. Maseches Yuma, that's how the Masechta begins, Shivas Yomim. The way that's referred to in the Tfilas Geshem is Ruchak Me'am Pachaz Kamayim. Aaron was separated or removed from the nation. It was Pachaz Kamayim, hasty like water. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Mikrai Kodesh in Sukkos mentions that he was asked by his son-in-law, Rav Yosef Cohen, son-in-law or grandson, I think. Two questions. Firstly, where does this come from, the idea that the Jewish people are called Pachas Kamayim? I think we are familiar with the expression. Pachas Kamayim was said in the Brachos of Yaakov to Reuven. He was hasty like water with the whole thing that happened with Bilhah's beds. And Pachas Kamayim, hasty like water. The Jewish people have never been called Pachas Kamayim. How did that association spread to come to represent the entire Jewish people? And secondly, it doesn't really sound like such a positive virtue. In context with Reuven, he lost over it. He was too hasty. It doesn't sound like a good middah. Why are we mentioning this? We're looking to extol the virtues of the Jewish people. We're looking to mention the positive points of the Jewish people. We're not saying, listen, they're terrible, but give us water anyway. So why mention the fact that they're Pachas Kamayim, whatever it means, or wherever we find it? It's the sort of thing that we might find another Mayim that's nice. That's the question that was asked to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. And Rav Frank explains that actually, we do find that the Jewish people are referred to as pachas, as hasty. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in Daf Peches explains, or tells of the story, that Rava, the great Rava, Abaya and Rava, no page of Talmud is complete without him, he was learning and he was very engrossed in his learning. He was sitting on his fingers and they became crushed. And there was a tzedoki who was observing all of this, and of course these are hardly normal conditions. And the tzedoki was mocking Rava. He said, "Ama paziza, you're a nation that's impetuous by nature, you're hasty by nature, you're not ordered and well thought out. Dekadmisu pumaychu le'odnaychu. You act before you think. This isn't a rational way of behaving. Look at your fingers, take care of your hands, you're so engrossed in your learning. You know what this is like? It's like when you first received the Torah. You said, Naaseh v'nishma. That was hasty. It should have been the other way around. You should have said, Nishma, we'll hear it, and then we'll think about it. But this type of Naaseh v'nishma attitude, you're not taking care of yourself, and you're acting in a way which shows that you're not really ordered. Akati b'pachazu zaychu kamisu. You still have that haste, that hasty element, that impetuousness to you. Here, we see that the Jewish people are characterized when they said Naaseh v'nishma, that was pachas kamayim. What would you like to receive the Torah? Yes, we'll do it. Absolutely. What are we going to do? We have no idea. We haven't heard anything yet, but the answer is yes. It's pachas kamayim. And the tzedoki, or whatever group he represents, said, well, that's not a normal way to go about things. It shows that you're not settled. But what does it show? The more you think about it, the question as to whether one acts in haste, without too much thought, it really depends how much thought do you need. As if to say, when it came to Reuven, the original Pachas Kamayim, it was considered to be a negative trait, because whatever happened with Bilhah was his own judgment, and Yaakov is saying, you acted without thinking about it. No one told you what to do. You weighed things up and made a hasty decision. If it's up to you to make a decision, and you make a decision hastily, that's not good. And that's why he lost the melucha, because the king who's responsible for the country, he can't make a hasty decision. But what happens when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the Jewish people and says, I've taken you out of Mitzrayim, here's the Torah. Would you like to receive it? Under those circumstances, to make a hasty decision, or to respond in haste in that way, impulsively or instinctively, is an outstanding thing. On the contrary, to act in a more reticent way would be a disaster. If Hashem says, would you like to receive the Torah? And the Jewish people say, listen, we don't like to make rash decisions. Well, think about it. That's a bizoyim. Because what you're saying is, you don't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you what is the best way for you to live. Well, think about it. Our people call your people, and we'll work it out. So, like most middos, and this I heard from my father, Oliver Shalom, there's no such thing as a bad middah. There's no such thing as a good middah. Middah are measures. Everything in measure. Depends on context. Depends on time. And therefore, to be hasty, if you are the one that needs to weigh up the decisions because no one else is talking about it, you need to weigh everything up and not to be hasty. But if Hashem has already decided what's good for you, and he's asking you for a yes, so the Hidur mitzvah is to say yes straight away. It's Naaseh v'nishma. That's the way one should react to mitzvahs. There's one other place where this idea comes out. Ama paziza. And it's the same idea. And it's the way we should relate to mitzvahs. Rabbi Zeira made his famous trip from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. At a certain point, he didn't want to live in Bavel anymore. He came to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he comes to the river, and he missed the ferry. Okay. So, what does he do? He saw there was some very flimsy-looking wooden construction, which is like a board spreading across, spanning the river, and there was a rope. Here's Rabbi Zeira. This isn't the sort of thing that he's used to doing. Betty gets up on the plank and he's starting going step by step, and the river's underneath him, and one step to the right or to the left, and that's the end of Rabbi Zeira. And there was someone there, and he said to him, Amma Paziza. I don't know if it was the same person. If it is, he got around. But he said, Amma Paziza. It's the same thing, Nasa Vinishma. Wait for the ferry, like a mensch. What is this? Can't wait? Rabbi Zeira said, no, I can't wait. I'm across the river from the land of Israel. Moshe and Aaron were better people than me, and neither of them made it in. If I miss the ferry, I'm not waiting for the next ferry. If there's a plank of wood, I'll take it now. That's how you're meant to relate to mitzvahs. And on the contrary, there's a deep point here, because Rava responded to this tzedoki with a pasuk in Mishlei, which said, Tumas Yesharim Tanchem, the completeness of the upright will guide them. Said Rava, that's us. We're upright, we're complete. And Rashi explains, and we have faith in Hashem, whatever he says is good for us, we can't second guess that, we can't know better than him. With regards to your way of thinking, Selef Bogdim Yishadem, the falsification of traitors will trap them. Now, what does that mean? What it means is, if a person would hesitate, as this tzedoki represents that school of thought, to think about it, to contemplate. Hashem says, would you like to receive the Torah? Let me hear it. Nishma and Naseh. That's the desired formula. Why? Because he doesn't trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give him a way of living that is ideal. Rather, he wants to have a think about it and see if he concurs. How could he not trust? How could he be ultimately suspicious of Hashem? The answer, says Rava, is who is suspicious? A traitor. If he himself would manipulate people, he will project that onto others and ultimately even to Hashem. So Rava says, we're the Jewish people. At heart, we're okay. We want to do the right thing. And therefore, we can't bring ourselves to be suspicious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he says, here's the Torah, we would never wish a bad program on anyone. If Hashem, kal vachomer, lahavdil, elef avdolos, so he presents the Torah to us, what's not to say yes to? Why hesitate? What to be suspicious of? Because we are yesharim, so we go b'tamimus with Hashem. That's what guides us. The problem with you is you are a boged. You're always looking to shortchange the other person. So if Hashem would offer you the Torah, you think he's looking to shortchange me? Selef, but that's a falsification. Selef bogdim yishadem. And you'll be trapped in that. You'll never get out of it. It's very interesting to consider. This is the concept of Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra. Two personalities in the Chumash are identified as being antitheses one of the other in this respect. Pirkei Avos, Vizperek. If you have the three midos of Avram, three midos of Bilam, Avram is Ayin Tova, and Bilam is Ayin Ra. And what's very interesting is, normally we understand that if a person is Ayin Tova, that means he has a benevolent view of the people around him, that they deserve his kindness. And if he has an Ayin Ra, he thinks no one deserves his kindness. It's all about people that could receive from him, potentially. Does he look upon them benevolently or not? There is a parish in Pirkei Avos called Yein Levonon, by Rav Naftali Weisel. Rav Naftali Weisel was a very complicated person, but the parish Yein Levonon is out of this world. And there he says that the idea of Ayin Tova and Ayin Ra'a, it's not just the way that you regard people who may potentially take from you. It's also the way that you regard people who give to you. Are you suspicious of them? Are they out to get you? Are they somehow manipulating you? It's also paradox, because you see the worst in everything, because that's how you are. And that's why you see with Bilam, where do you see Ayin Ra'a with Bilam? He suspects HaKadosh Baruch Hu of holding him back the whole time. He's looking, he's pushing for a yes, because he doesn't want the answer no. Maybe Hashem is saying no because it's for your own good. No, he's looking, he's holding me back. My success will be if I go to curse the Jewish people. Hashem is looking, he's out to get me. I've got to work it out. I've got to find a way around what he's saying. That's Ayin Ra. You don't think that, consider the possibility that if Hashem tells you, no, it's for your own good, he doesn't have my good in mind. He wants something else for me. I'm sure of it. I just need to find out what it is. In the meanwhile, I've got to go and curse the Jewish people. Avram is the opposite. Avram is Ayin Tova. Hashem tells Avram to bring up his son as a korban. There are so many ways to evade that scenario. But Avram's Ayin Tova. I have no idea how this could possibly be for my own good, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do it. As far as I'm concerned, what more could I ask for? That is pure Ayin Tova. It's fascinating in this regard that the Tana in Pirkei Avos, in the second parak, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he asked his Talmidim, go out and find the ultimate Midah, and they all come back, his five Talmidim. Rabbi Eliezer comes back with Ayin Tova. And then, Hu Hayamona Shvacha. He spoke in praise of all of his Talmidim. What does he say about Rabbi Eliezer? Bor Sud She'enu Ma'abit Tipa. He has lined the walls of his memory, doesn't lose a drop of Torah. Says the Yein Levonon. Why? Or how? Because he has Ayin Tova. Because Rabbi Eliezer embodies the mid of Ayin Tova, everything he hears from his Rebbe, he embraces. There's no reservations, because if this is what the Rebbe is telling him, this must be exactly what he needs to know at this time. So how can he bring himself to forget? His retention of Torah is a function of his appreciation of Torah, which is 100%, because it's an embodiment of the Midah of Ayin Tova. And it's very interesting to consider, to come back to Tfilas Geshem. We say in the merit of Am Pachas Kamayim, to give us water. How does one lead to the other? Says Yosef Cohen in the footnotes there in the Harari Kodesh, it's midah keneged midah. Pachas kamayim with reference to Hashem means when he tells us something, we respond. We don't ask questions. We don't think about it too much. If that's what's there, the answer is yes. Our question is in response to that midah keneged to that midah of us. So keneged midah. So we're asking Hashem for rain. Lahavdil. If you thought about it for too long, there may be any number of reasons why we don't deserve it. But we never think about what you say to us for too long. You offered us the Torah, we said yes straight away. We didn't make cheshbonus. Let that count for something. And we're asking you for rain. So please, just say yes straight away. And don't consider too many other things. And that's really what the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos. When it asked the question, there was considered to be something of a decline amongst the generations in this regard. Even within the times of the Gemara, the later Amorim says, in many degrees, in many ways, our level of learning is greater than that of the earlier. We had more material, and that they presumed to say that about themselves. Our learning is on a higher level than the earlier. But what happens when there's no rain? Compare ourselves now with the earlier generations. We, says the Gemara, this is in the fifth or sixth generation, Rav Pop, I believe, we daven all day, hopefully rain will come. Sometimes it doesn't come. Rav Yehuda, in the first generation of Amorim, if there was a Tanis, as soon as he took his shoes off, because the Tanis is starting, it started raining already. That's all he had to do. What's the difference between us and them? And the Gemara responded, because they were Moser Nefesh for mitzvahs, more so than us. And the examples that are given of Mesiras Nefesh is when they saw something that they felt was wrong in terms of mitzvahs, they reacted straight away without thinking about it too long. That's Pachas Kamayim. And there you see the Midah Keneged Midah. As soon as they saw something that they felt that's not right, they acted straight away. So when Rabbi Yehuda is petitioning for rain, he just takes off his shoes, Hashem responds straight away. It's the Midah Keneged Midah. We think about things a little bit too much, when the answer often is very clear. And therefore maybe Hashem thinks about it a bit too much and the rain takes a bit longer to get there. So these are certain sentiments. There's, of course, Mayim Shein Lahem Sof to talk about Chag HaShavuos, it's about Zman Matan Torah, but to remind ourselves about our approach to Torah, the tachlis of Talmud Torah. These are things well worth reflecting on. We should all have a Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and we should have a Chag Sameach. I'll leave it over there for you.